everyone. This is Kate Kennedy, and I am here today to talk with you about some of the ways Kane has been positively impacted by the West Penn Power Sustainable Energy Fund. Many of you guys have heard that name in connection to the Six and Kane building, which is the retrofit commercial passive house building right in Uptown Kane. But they have done so much more. They have been investing in and supporting and helping to grow our community through grants across the region. So today we're going to talk about some of that. But before we dive in, I want to remind everyone who the West Penn Power Sustainable Energy Fund is. So we have Barb Robach here to talk about that. Barb, would you mind introducing yourself and saying a few things about the fund?
Good morning, Kate. I'm Barb Robach. I'm marketing communications for the West Penn Power Sustainable Energy Fund. From now on, we'll just call it the fund.
I love it.
And we are a nonprofit organization that has been doing great projects, clean energy projects throughout the region for many years. We are not the utility. We always get confused with the utility. We just happen to share the same name as the utility. And like we were talking this morning, much like there are a million Kates in the world, there's even some Kate Kennedys in the world, but you're all very different. So we just happen to share the name. And the fund collaborated in the retrofit of Six and Kane. So that's kind of connecting the dots a little bit for people. But what I want people to understand is we're more than just Six and Kane. Mm-hmm. We're more than one building. We've been doing grants and good clean energy projects throughout this region for many, many years. In fact, we have some of the recipients sitting around the table today. We've helped the Kane Community Center, Elk Country Recycling, this radio station, the Elk Country Visitor Center, the upcoming Children's Museum, the Lutheran Home, Kane Historical Society, the chapel. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are bursting in Kane that we've touched. We've had a little hand in helping to make them more energy efficient. So,
and one of the things that I always appreciate about the fund is not only is it about energy efficiency, but it's also about education and about economic development. And you guys have shown that so well, especially with the Six and Kane project, the way that you've trained people to become certified in passive house standards and measures. And I think that the generosity that has expanded beyond just that building really is a testament to your mission and vision of who you guys are. So if anyone ever wants to learn more in detail about the fund,
WPPSEF.org. There's a lot of videos that you can watch to learn who we are and what we do. You can see our project partners. You can see our projects. There's a lot of stuff up on our website. We also have a WPPSEF Facebook page. And then, of course, people in town here are very familiar with the Six and Kane Facebook page. I think we have most of the residents of Kane following us on the page, which we're extremely grateful for.
Yes, that's great. Well, thank you again. And I want to turn it over. We have our mayor, Brandy Shimp, here with us. And before we go into the details of some of the specific projects, Brandy, could you share what your experience has been of working with the fund and the impact that you've seen of them here in Kane?
Sure. Thanks for having me. I think right out of the gate, my initial meeting with Joel, the executive director for the fund, was very lighthearted, fun, and funny. We met at a PA Wilds dinner a couple years back, and he had mentioned, you know, he wanted to learn a little bit more about Kane. And so he came up, he made the trip, we had a really nice visit. And just from that initial meeting, everything has been very, you know, thoughtful moving forward. It's been very much, what can we do? How can we help? How can we, you know, further education, help with economic development, help the environment, all of those three things that are very important to the fund. And you can see all around the impact that they're making, you know, from the project at Six and Kane. It's given Kane a spotlight that we wouldn't have had before in a national and international way. It's really helped to, you know, kind of share our story of our community and also share the story of how these projects can work in rural environments and how rural shouldn't just be counted out because we're rural. So we're really, really thankful and lucky to have the fund and their support and Joel and Barb and their entire team that is enthusiastic about being here And they come up and visit and stay and play and work really, really hard. And we're really, really lucky to have them here.
And they have some pretty great cane apparel that they typically wear when they are here visiting. You can't miss them. One of the common threads I think people will hear throughout all of these relationships that have been formed with the fund and the grant recipients is this idea of dream bigger. And I really appreciate that approach. So Brandy, can you touch on how dream bigger has applied to the initial phases of the relationship with the fund?
Sure. A number of years ago, we were touring the project that they were starting. They had initially invested some money in the PA Wilds Media Labs on the second floor of the Laughing Owl Press building. And we were up in that building, and at the time we were, I think, on the third floor. And Joel, the executive director, was there, and we were looking out across the window, and, you know, we were kind of talking about Kane and where we were headed. And he said, you know, what do you think? And what do you think about the community? What do you think about some upcoming projects? Because when we had initially met with the fund and went to State College to their annual meeting, we didn't really have a shovel-ready project.
What year was this? Do you remember?
2018.
Okay, so this was about 5 years ago.
Yep, we had gone down, Melanie Claybaugh, myself, and Abby Peters. And so, you know, we were down there and we didn't really have a solid project. We had some ideas. And after that, Joel was up here again, and he just... We were just standing there looking out the window, and he just said, you know, dream big and bigger. He just kept saying bigger. And so if you would have said, you know, back that many years ago, if I would have thought that Kane would be home to one of the first commercial retrofit passive houses in the United States, I didn't even know I could dream that big. So they're not afraid of a challenge. They're not afraid to take it to the next level. They're not afraid of trying new things, and it's so refreshing. And they've just been a really, really great community partner, and it's been a great relationship.
And I think in Kane, that's one of our strengths, is we kind of just go for stuff, but to have somebody encouraged to go bigger mm-hmm. is awesome. And so I want to hear from people who have received funding about what that means to them. So we're going to start with Char Florovit. She's the CEO of the Lutheran Home in Kane and has been a grant recipient of the fund. And so Char, would you go ahead and share a little bit about how you decided to apply and what you guys are going to be doing with the funding?
The initial grant that we received from the fund was for an energy audit to look at not only gas and electric, but also our ventilation in the facility. And being a 24/7 operation, you can imagine the huge draw that we have on resources, not just gas and electric, but water. So the audit came back, gave us things that we needed to look at, ways that we could improve, and, you know, be a pilot program, because I'm sure that energy conservation isn't something that's really thought about in nursing homes. So we did the initial phase, got the results from the audit, and they thankfully funded phase two of our program to move forward with cloud-based controls, because we found that we were simultaneously heating and cooling our building at the same time. Looking at our ventilation, so implementing different strategies to, you know, conserve energy, but make sure that we're doing it, you know, in a great fashion, that we're, you know, eliminating the carbon imprint that we have. But also, we are looking at a large expansion project coming very soon. And part of the fund actually is to ensure that we have everything that we need to make sure that, you know, we've switched LED lighting in the new building, that we can make sure that we're consuming, you know, less energy as much as possible. So one of the big things that we're very excited about is our construction includes a brand new kitchen. And part of the funding is to look at induction cooking. So working with Barb and Joel with that has been very exciting, and we can't wait to get our kitchen staff involved in that. I initially went, but now we're working on the phase of getting our frontline staff, making sure that they have the buy-in and they're supportive of it. So we're very excited and very blessed to have received the fund twice.
Yeah, and that's the great thing, is that the money to do the audit and to receive the equipment and all of that is very helpful, but then the long-term savings over time is going to just benefit you more and more. And I know you touched on this. This is not the focus of the interview, but there are some upcoming exciting announcements regarding some expansion that people could be on the lookout for, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 10,700 square feet.
All right. So if you have questions, contact the Lutheran Home and you'll be hearing much more about that to come. All right. Next up, I would like to hear from you, Joe Szymanski, Jr.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well today, Kate. Thanks.
I don't even know how to describe what your job is here because I feel like you do a lot of different things. So go ahead and introduce yourself, your connection to WXEY, and then your relationship with the fund.
Sure. Yeah. I started with WXEY pretty much on the ground floor when we started the radio station in 2014, which in a year from now, it's going to be 10 years, which is hard to believe. But basically, we wanted to fill the void of not having a station for a few years there. You know, thankfully, we were very blessed to have a great commercial radio station back in the day called WLMI. A lot of people might remember that. Very community-focused effort there. And it went through some ownership changes. And as things sometimes happen, it ended up leaving town. I think the call letters got reassigned to another station nearby. So that left Kane without, you know, kind of a voice of local sports, local community info, and people noticed and they were talking about it. And what we wanted to do was utilize the FCC's low power FM category, which they had a window that we could file an application for back in 2014, to kind of provide that again for Kane. So our station is a community radio station. We are a nonprofit organization. And our goal really is just to keep that information, that flow of information coming to area residents and be able to bring them sports broadcasts, you know, with kids that you grew up hearing the names of their parents a lot of times now. And they have their own kids. And it'd be a shame if they didn't have that opportunity for their kids to hear their names on the radio. So that's kind of where we come from. And I'm just a jack of all trades and probably a master of none. But I do a little bit of everything behind the scenes. And it's just been a very rewarding experience to be tied still to my hometown in this way.
Oh my gosh, we appreciate you so much. And you're exactly right. One of the charms of growing up in a small town is that your name's in the newspaper, your name's on the radio. And I think that fact that you guys can continue to give that experience to the next generations is awesome. And I know that you recently received some funding from the fund. Could you expand on that a bit?
Yeah, we had, of course, our number one goal, one of our goals, I shouldn't say it's number one, but it's right up there, is to, you know, reduce our operating costs. Because as a non-commercial community radio station, we are not allowed to air traditional advertising. The FCC says you can get your donations from individuals and businesses that choose to give. And of course, we thank them on the air when they do. But that presents a bit of a challenge because we don't have the budgets that we maybe ordinarily would have if we were a commercial station. So we need to, you know, trim fat where we can and run lean and mean to be able to provide, you know, all the things that we do. And I've been blown away by the volunteers because we are mainly a volunteer organization. The people that have stepped up to do football games and basketball games and the people behind the scenes that make sure everything run day to day and just the tremendous volunteer force behind everything that we do is just inspiring. And one of the things we wanted to do was continue to reduce our footprint, both on the environment and on our finances. So we were thrown around the idea of going all solar as a way to power the radio station. And we didn't know what this looked like, but we were able to reach out to the fund, and they were right away awesome to work with. They were very helpful in helping us draw up our grant applications, and they were very encouraging. Then they said, you absolutely should go for this. So we did, and they provided a grant that'll help us install some solar panels and to take the edge off of our electricity bill. So we're really excited about that, and we couldn't thank them enough.
Yeah, and so far from what I've heard between you and Char, it's this legacy sort of thing, too. It's, again, not that one and done. It's allowing you to have more freedom in your finances because it'll take some of that burden off. And so it's just one of those grants that just keeps on giving in such a tangible and helpful way for the different nonprofits that are being reached. Is there anything else you want to say, Joe?
No, I'm just very grateful for Kane and the fact that everybody seems to be working in unison and growing the community, and exciting things are happening. And I couldn't be more proud of where I came from.
Well, we're so, so grateful that technology allows you to stay so closely connected. So thank you. Finally, in your own words, Mayor Shimp, would you please discuss the grant that the Kane Area Children's Museum recently applied for and received from the fund?
Sure. If you're not familiar with Kane Area Children's Museum, the project that's been up and running now for,
about a year and a half.
We are now hoping, fingers crossed, everything is working out to call our home the former library at the Chestnut Street Elementary School, now called the Chestnut Street Center. The owners there, Dan and Missy Clear, have been amazing to work with, and we have a signed agreement that we are going to see if we can make it work in that facility because of its location, and just for multiple reasons, the nostalgia there, the building use, the location across from our, famed Wooden Park. So some of the first things that we have to do is determine whether or not that space is actually going to work for us. And so what we did was we were kind of kicking around, how do we make this space work? And we reached out to the fund and also to Donna from InScale, who worked very closely on the Passive House, the Six and Kane building. And from there, we were able to come up with a quote from Donna for an existing conditions and feasibility study for that specific area of the old school. And so we wrote a grant to the fund, who was very, very generous and decided to support our project. So we're moving forward with that. Donna and company have been in the building going over square footage and opportunities and what we could do with that space and do it in a way that we make it sustainable and affordable mm-hmm. as we move forward with the Children's Museum. So we are thrilled to have Donna in the building because of her knowledge that she gained working at Six and Kane. She's now Passive House certified, and she's local. She's from Warren. So it's a really, really great and exciting project we have going on there.
It is so exciting. Mm-hmm. And Barb, will you explain, what is it like for you to hear that someone that was trained to be Passive House certified because of the Six and Kane building?
Well, that was one of the goals when we decided to do a building in Kane. We had been doing all these projects with other companies for years. And we sat down with our board, we were doing some strategic planning, and we said, instead of just impacting one company at a time, how do we change a whole community? And so we said, how do we use energy to enrich an entire community? And we decided to retrofit a building. And then, the magic happened, and Brandy and Mel and Abby came down to talk to us, and we fell in love with those three, and our board said, if we're going to do this anywhere, we're going to do it in Kane. And so there were a couple of goals, and not just to impact a community, but, we wanted to use local products. We wanted to use local labor, educate the local contractors. And so what happened was, Mark Luciano from Bradford, the builder, one of our contractors, he became Passive House certified. Then we had to have a Passive House architect, and that was Gary Mosher from Pittsburgh. But we wanted to have a local architect with a hands-on, and someone from here. And so we hired Donna from InScale, and she ended up, as we say, drinking the Kool-Aid, and she went to become Passive House certified. So I tell you, you used the word legacy, and Joel and I kick that word around a lot because we're both to the age where we're going to be retiring in a couple of years. And we always say, what do we want our legacy to be? And it's things like this. It's towns like this. It's people like I'm sitting around talking to right now. I mean, it's actually emotional for me because that's what I want my legacy to be, is I want to be able to come back to Kane to visit at some point and see the impact that I've had, that the fund has had. So Joel and I always say that I think the thing that the fund is really good at is connecting people and connecting people to good projects. And like Brandy said, sometimes you don't even know what the project is, and we will convince you to dream bigger and it will happen. And I think that we've just been able to do really good work in the 23 counties that we've been working in for, you know, 20 some years now. It's been one of those jobs where you wake up every morning and you can't wait to go to work.
Can't beat that. And if you think about just even from who we've heard from today, so we heard from Shar with the Lutheran Home, who primarily services our elderly, and that's one generation that's getting touched by this funding that you're giving. And then the Children's Museum, which is a totally different generation. And then the radio station, which is everything in between.
Right. And so, and you look at things like what Michelle's doing at the community center. I mean, that is so vital to what is going on in this town.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be working with the Historical Society and the chapel. And so there's roots there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much that we've been able to touch, and it makes Joel and I feel really good when we come here. And I've said this a couple of times before, and I can't thank the people of Kane enough, because you've made us feel like we're now one of you.
Well, you say uptown, so you've got half the battle down.
We learned very quick. I think we learned our first visit that this was uptown Kane. So,
well, we can't thank you guys enough for believing in us and taking a chance on us. And obviously it has made a difference, and with much more to come as far as seeing the impact of that. And anyone that might be curious about seeing the Six and Kane mm-hmm. building, could you give some information about what's going on this weekend?
Sure. This Saturday, I know there's a lot going on in the town. All the returning alumni, Art and Wilds, and this will be the first time that any returning alumni will be able to see the building finished. I know we had some sneak peeks in years past, but we're finally done and
open.
Right,
so open. I think the last two alumni weekends were sneak peeks.
We're just sneak peeks. And last year you weren't allowed on the second and third floor because they were being constructed and we were worried about people's safety. So this will be the first time that returning alumni will be able to see it finished. And coincidentally, and this is a wild coincidence, on the same weekend as Alumni Weekend, and on the same weekend as Art and Wilds, is a global event called the International Passive House Open Days, where all of the passive house buildings in the world have their doors open for people to come and learn more. So if you get on the International Passive House Days website, there are little stars all over the world of where you can visit passive houses, and there's only a couple in the United States, and there's a star in Pennsylvania where Kane is. And that just makes my heart swell. It's like the Grinch.
I know. I mean, a whole new meaning to a star in the forest.
Yes,
here.
Absolutely. So we're going to host an educational open house Saturday. This Saturday will be open from 9 until noon. So as part of that global international passive house days, we're going to have sort of an Ask the Expert theme going on, where Joel, our fund manager and the sort of the owner of the building, he'll be there to answer questions. Our architect, Gary Mojo from Pittsburgh, he will be here to answer questions. We're also going to have someone here from the Pennsylvania Department of energy programs. So they're going to be here talking about some other energy programs that are going on in the state. And then I think you're going to want to take the elevator up to the third floor, because we're going to do a rerun of the Kane Storyteller. So if anybody missed that 30-minute documentary when we had the grand opening back in October, we're going to be running that every 30 minutes on Saturday up on the third floor in Kane. And that is the documentary presenting stories of the region by the people of the region. So you're going to see your friends and neighbors talking about Kane on there. And then we're also encouraging, you know, there's going to be people walking up and down the sidewalks, and we have water bottle filling stations on every floor. So we can also be a place to hydrate, because that's important too. So, you know, swing on by. We're just going to be open Saturday morning from 9 to noon, because I know a lot of things kick off and start kind of after that. So we're happy to host. We're thrilled to host the community from 9 to noon on Saturday.
I can't wait for people who have been following along and popping in every year to see the finished product. It is breathtaking and beautiful, and really a great mix of a nod to our region with the woodwork and just some of the thoughtful details, as well as that look toward the future and how we are keeping right up with everyone else along.
Yeah, we always said we,
thinking.
You know, we wanted to give a nod to the past, because there is a lot of history in that building. You can almost feel it when you walk through there. especially those of us who have been there from the beginning and walked through the first couple of days when we bought the building. So we wanted to give a nod to the past, but there's a lot of great things coming up in the future of Kane, and we wanted to.
We brought I brought a group of eighth graders to the building, and one of the quotes that I think sums up the experience is, "This is the most building I've ever been in." And it's true. I think you're going to be really impressed, everyone. So 63 North Fraley Street, 9 to noon on Saturday, June 24th, yes. Alumni weekend. Come check out all that's there. And why don't you one more time let people know how they can learn more about the fund?
Easy, WPPSEF.org.
Okay. And on Facebook?
Just Six and Kane.
Just Six and Kane. Hey, thanks, everybody. This is always a great time to spend time with such encouraging and uplifting people doing great things in the community. Just a few of the many that are really helping to elevate our community and our town in the eyes of the region and the world.
Thank you, Kate, because you do a lot.
Oh, well, thanks. All right, everyone. Well, we'll be seeing you around this alumni weekend. Have fun, be safe, and we'll talk again soon.